from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Right now, we go to our pal Ray Fittipaldo, good friend Ray Fittipaldo, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. Go to LGKG.com. Ray, you heard Austin say it in the headline. It feels like we are on 4 digits worth of days on this Brandon Ayuk watch. It seems like things have gotten quiet again, though. It gets pretty red hot, then it gets quiet, gets pretty hot, then it goes back to being cold. Where do things stand today? Are we going to get heated up here this afternoon at some point with this stuff, or where do you come down on where everything's at?
Well, I woke up this morning, Donnie, and I saw Adam Schefter tweeted that Ayuk had a deal with the 49ers, and then I did my due diligence, and it was an Adam Schefter account with 123 followers. So everyone's still trying to have their fun with this whole saga. I mean, to answer your question, it's where it's been for the last couple of days. The Steelers are waiting to hear from the 49ers. The 49ers are taking their good old time. Apparently, you know, they've started talks again with Ayuk, and according to I think it was Schefter or Garofalo, one of those guys reported a few days ago that they're, you know, they're fairly close on a contract. So I can tell you nothing has changed from the Steelers' perspective. They still want Ayuk at their price, but they're really not going to budge from, you know, what their offer is.
Do you think if they strike out on Brandon Ayuk, they'll settle for, I don't know, maybe a Juju Smith-Schuster reunion or some guy that's still left out there on the scrap heap?
You know, I don't know about Juju. You know, he's been a guy. You know, I know he had a decent year with the Patriots last year, but I view him right now as like a number three or a number four receiver, and I think the Steelers have plenty of those caliber of yep, receivers already on their roster. So I wouldn't just add to add. You know, I think they've had guys in their camp who have performed well, guys like Van Jefferson. You know, Calvin Watson has had a pretty good camp. You know, even though he wasn't very good on punt returns, Quez Watkins bounced back this week with some of his best practices of camp. So they have guys on their roster who can fill those roles. So I don't necessarily think Juju or anyone else of that caliber would be all that attractive to them. But, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, after final cutdowns and after these preseason games.
How about this, too, Ray? I saw somebody point this out the other day. Who would have thought in 2024 that Martavis Bryant has a job in the NFL and both Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool are unemployed?
Yeah, well, we'll see how long Martavis lasts with the Commanders. I know he was on the practice squad with the Cowboys last year. The guy has so much talent. I just wonder why the Cowboys never elevated him. You know, I know they were, you know, they were in playoff contention last year, and maybe they didn't need him. But out of all those guys from that era, that Killer Bees era, he might have been the most talented, just from a pure talent standpoint. We all know AB was great. He worked his butt off, but he was a sixth round pick. Martavis had first round skills. We all know why he dropped in the draft, and it's just a shame that his career has worked out the way it has. But I'm glad he's getting another chance. I think I read he's 32 or 33 now. So, you know, I don't know what's going to come of it, but hopefully for Martavis, it works out well.
Here's an interesting one, putting you on the spot here a little bit, Ray. If you had to rank the three receivers that I just named, Martavis Bryant, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, for right now, not at their peak, because I think Bryant kind of runs away with that. For right now, how would you rank them?
I would probably, you know, and I haven't been around Juju in a couple years, I would probably go Juju, Martavis, and then Claypool. And just because Juju's younger, I think 27 compared to 32, you know, Claypool, he's just been a mess. He was a mess when he was here. Didn't work out for him in Chicago or Miami. Now he's apparently the Bills placed him on IR earlier this week.
And then they cut him loose, so now he's free to sign anywhere.
Yeah, so he's on the street again. So I would probably go Juju out of all of those three. I'll be watching and I'll be rooting for Martavis because, you know, he obviously had some issues with the league when he was here. He had some issues with the team when he was here. But I always liked him, and I always thought that, you know, there was a lot of, you know, as they say, a lot of his career was left on the table, and I'm hoping he gets one last shot to rectify that situation.
Ray, I know you can't tell us everything in great detail, but what were some of your takeaways from the joint practice that you saw between the Steelers and Bills?
Yeah, I thought Russ looked really good. You know, we're going to get to see him with the starters for, you know, maybe four series. That's what Mike Tomlin said yesterday. So all the fans who have been waiting for that debut, they'll get to see that. You know, I always watch the O-line, D-line stuff. You know, and I thought Zach Frazier had a good day yesterday. I thought Broderick Jones had a good day yesterday. So those young linemen, they've been performing well against the Steelers, defensive linemen and edge rushers, but it was nice to see them perform that way against another team as well. So obviously, you know, game reps are different from practice reps, but, you know, I would say the offensive linemen and the quarterback yesterday, that's who I watched most, and I thought it was mostly good from both Russ and from the offensive linemen.
What do you think of the thought of, and I think Jerry Dulac, I brought it up, I heard Chris Carter talking about it this morning with the morning show guys, if it is the ones on offense for four series, the idea of Russell Wilson playing two or three of those and then Justin Fields getting one or two series with the ones?
Yeah, I think that's going to depend on, you know, how Russ looks and what they do on those drives. You know, I know we talked about it last week, but, you know, Justin was fairly good other than the fumbled exchanges with Nate Herbig. And I think the reason that they kept him in there for all three drives was, he didn't lead the team to any points. And I think they wanted to see him for an extended look. And I think Russ will get that same opportunity this week. You know, if he leads them to scores on his first drive or first couple of drives, I don't think there's any need to have him out there, you know, on that third or fourth drive. But if they struggle again, or not even necessarily Russ, but if the offense overall is shooting itself in the foot again, then maybe Russ does see that third and that fourth series. So I believe Mike when he says he's really undetermined on that. I really think he just wants to see how the offense plays and then how Russ plays as well.
I know they won't show it in the preseason, which it's wise to not do so, but would, if you had to guess right now, do you think we see some of those Justin Fields packages once we hit that first game in Atlanta?
I don't think we're going to see him for the next couple of weeks. I think it's smart by Arthur Smith to keep those under wraps. You know, he was asked about that earlier this week when he did a group interview up in St. Vincent. And, you know, he basically laughed it off, but you could kind of tell that, you know, the wheels are going in his mind as he tries to figure out, well, how can we use this great athlete that we have? And I'm sure you guys heard Andy Weidel talk about Justin's ability in the open field. He called it breathtaking yesterday when he talked to us. So there's a lot to tap into there. You know, what you'll see from Justin when the Steelers play the Bills on Saturday, I think if the play breaks down, he's going to have the freedom to run and to make some plays. But in terms of, you know, design runs, read options, those types of things, special packages, you know, in certain situations, I don't think you're going to see any of that unveiled in the preseason. I think Smith will, you know, do that during the regular season, depending on the team you play. I just don't think we're going to see that against the Bills or the Lions.
Football coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits to save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Ray, you mentioned Zach Frazier in your initial answer about the takeaways from the joint practice with the Bills. The Steelers and Bills get at it tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium. I think one of my big takes from this game is that Frazier will solidify that starting center spot. I think he will take over officially after Saturday night. I think once we see that week three of the preseason depth chart, Zach Frazier will find himself as the team starter in the middle of that offensive line. You think that's outrageous? You think it's too early to put a rookie there?
No, Andy was very complimentary of Zach yesterday when he was asked about him as well. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Nate Herbig, but his injury does open the door for Zach to get more reps. He got those reps yesterday in practice. And I know Mike said he didn't know about Nate yet in the game, but I would be surprised if Herbig dresses for that game too. So if Herbig is out again, then Frazier's going to get a ton of work against the Bills. And that'll be a big... that'll be a big part of his evaluation. So, you know, it's interesting. Both West Virginia guys, injuries have opened the door for them again. You know, Graylin Arnold was running with the starters earlier this week before he got placed on IR. Now, you know, presumably Bishop's going to be back in there with the first team defense on Saturday night. So, you know, I think Zach probably has a better shot than Beanie at this point. I still think there's some competition to come from Beanie, but you know, both those guys have had really good camps. The Steelers have been impressed with both, and you know, both those guys are older and experienced, and I think neither's intimidated by being a pro. You know, you see Beanie's going to turn 25 in December. I think Zach is going to turn 23 this year. Their entire draft class of Peyton Wilson, all those guys are all 23 or older, so I think that's the reason why you're hearing from these rookies earlier in camp, and I think they have a chance to be starters earlier than some of the classes that the Steelers have brought in previously.
Talking to Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette here on 93.7 The Fan. The Troy Faltanu injury, how much does that set him behind the eight ball? Because, again, another reference to Jerry Dulac, your colleague at the PG, he put out the piece earlier this week that, you know, he would be the starting right tackle on this team sooner rather than later, but he suffers the injury in his NFL debut in that first preseason game. So does that throw him off track?
It probably does, but, you know, we saw the Steelers tip their hand, you know, the week before the Texans game. He was with the first team offense throughout that entire week, and they flipped Broderick to the other side. So, you know, that they telegraphed that. That's what they wanted to do. You know, Faletano didn't have a great first game, but, you know, who knows when he was injured, Donnie. We still don't know exactly when that knee got banged up a little bit. So, I think with the preseason schedule the way it is now, you know, they'll finish up on the 24th, and then they don't have to play again for like 15 days. So if Troy Faiatano can get healthy, say after the Lions game, and he can get maybe a full week of practice in, or maybe even a little bit more than a full week of practice in, I think he'll have a shot to start in Atlanta. But obviously you don't want to throw that on a rookie, coming off an injury and only have a couple of days of practice. You want him to get in there and get comfortable again. So, everyone's watching that injury closely, and it doesn't seem too serious. It's just an MCL sprain, but, you want to make sure you don't come back from that too soon either.
You're someone that loves the game in the trenches, Ray. What would the ideal starting offensive line be for you across the board for the Steelers in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, I would go Faiatano, Daniels, Frazier, Seumalo, and Jones, and I would just let those guys make the rookie mistakes. And that even goes for Jones, because he was a right tackle last year, and there's probably going to be some growing pains with him, this year as well. So I know that's not the way the Steelers typically do things, but I just touched on the experience of Frazier and Faiatano. And I think you maybe lean on that a little bit. And, we all know the schedule is manageable in the first half of the season. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's manageable. I know some of those games are on the road. But if those guys can get their feet wet, get some games under their belt, they're the future. That's why you drafted them in the first and second rounds. They're the future. So let them go out there and make their rookie mistakes. And then, maybe by the second half of the season when – when the season's on the line, all those tough games, maybe they'll be much, much better off for it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I feel like that very first game right off the bat got a whole lot more difficult in the last 36 hours. I already thought it would be a sneaky, tough game, but just one of those ones that, Steelers fans, it's the hope springs eternal. They're going to think, well, the Steelers will go in there. They'll win that game. The fans will take over in Atlanta. But it's a much different-looking Falcons team. New coach, big upgrade at quarterback with Kirk Cousins. They also just added two perennial Pro Bowl defenders in the last day and a half. They trade for Matthew Judon. They signed Justin Simmons, who for really, I think, no good reason was still out there and available. So how do you feel about that game less than a month from now? I feel like it is a sneaky, tough one on their schedule.
Yeah, they undoubtedly got better on defense. I'm with you. I'm not sure why Simmons was out there. I want to see the numbers on that contract when they eventually get leaked. It'll be interesting to see what he signed for. But as much as we're talking about the Falcons' defense and the Steelers' offense, I think that game's going to come down to one thing, and that's stationary Kirk Cousins going against T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton. If the Steelers can get a pass rush on him and he's not able to get the ball out quick, then I think the Steelers' defense can have some success against him. But if he's able to sit back there and he's got time, you know, that guy was really good with the Vikings for a lot of years. I know he never had playoff success the way they would have liked or he would have liked, but when that guy has time, he can make a lot of plays. So I think that game's basically going to come down to Steelers pass rush versus Kirk Cousins, and whoever gets home on that day is probably going to win that game.
One of the key members of that pass rush, Cam Hayward, any update with him and his contract situation, Ray?
No, I tend to think, Donnie, and I know maybe I was in the minority, but from the beginning, I didn't think he was going to get a contract before the season. I think the Steelers are content to let that play out. I think they could deal with Cam Hayward after the season. I think they could do the same thing with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. You know, both those guys are entering the last years of their contracts too, and I just think, given the situations, I know the quarterback situation is different from Cam's situation, but Cam's coming off an injury. He's 35 years old. If he still does play at an elite level this year, then you're going to have about 6 weeks or 8 weeks to hammer out something between the end of the season and the start of the new league year in March. So even though there's that deadline of this, you know, for the Steelers not negotiating during the season, I think a lot of times people forget about that window after the season ends and then before free agency begins in the middle of March.
What about Pat Freiermuth? That was a contract that I think a lot of people expected would be signed maybe before they ever took the field at St. Vincent College. Then there was that week or the second week there where his agent was in town for a couple of days. That didn't happen then. Then yeah. It was, well, he'll sign before the first preseason game. It didn't happen then. We're about to play the second preseason game. It still hasn't happened. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think sometimes deadlines can just spur that type of activity, and I think maybe that's the situation we're in with Freiermuth. A lot of times the Steelers will take it up right to the start of, that Saturday before the first game. They've done that before. You know, Troy Polamalu, I think, signed the day before season, Cortez Allen, a couple of other guys have done that. The other thing that goes unmentioned is, Freiermuth does have an injury history. And maybe just like Najee Harris, maybe they want to see how he fits into Arthur Smith's offense. So they might not be motivated to meet Freiermuth's number at this point. So I still think that one has a better chance of getting done than the Cam Hayward one, but it certainly bears watching. You know, the closer you get to the regular season and that's not finished, I think the likelihood goes up that, they'll probably look at him at the end of the season as well.
How good has Dante Jackson been in camp, Ray? That's someone who I think, I don't want to say the expectations are high or anything, but that was the player that the Steelers got in return for Deontay Johnson, and there was a late-round pick exchange there as well. I just feel like sometimes the things I see about Jackson, I don't want to get too excited about what he could provide because he is in a very important spot. I think we don't have to worry much about Joey Porter Jr., but that second corner has to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's a little bit banged up right now. They're going to probably hold him out, from this game on Saturday night. But, I think Dante Johnson has been good. And, the one thing that Andy Weidel said yesterday about Dante was he's fast. And adding speed to the second and third levels of that defense was a priority for the Steelers over the offseason. I mean, think back to, like, Miles Jack having to play. I mean, he was basically playing on one knee or no knees, I mean, he was pretty much shot. All those inside linebackers who came in late in the season were done. The secondary, they wanted to improve their speed there. So the one thing about Dante is he's fast. I know, sometimes his coverage ability is, brought into question, and maybe he didn't have the greatest year last year with the Panthers, but he's a pedigree guy. He's a former second-round pick. The Steelers liked him coming out of LSU, and you know, hopefully with this injury, we'll get to see him in action against the Lions next week, and we'll get a better read on him. But yeah, I think Jackson has been fine, and you know, I think as long as Joey Porter is the number one corner, he's a very good number two, and I think, you know, we could talk about the depth beyond him, both in the slot and on the outside. But I think if those two guys are healthy, the starters will be good. They might have to address the depth here before the start of the season.
Fan text line, hit us up on there at 412-928-9370. We have text in the city before the show ends today, just before 2 o'clock. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're talking to Ray Fittipaldo here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Ray, I'm seeing some love for Corey Trice as well. What kind of role could he fit into? I know his injury history, obviously got his entire rookie season taken away, but it seems like the size and physicality really fit the bill for an NFL corner.
Yeah, I just got done talking about the depth, and Corey Trice can solve a lot of those problems if he's ready for that role. You know, in the last couple of years, you know, they've had guys like James Pierre, who's the number three or number four outside corner. You know, it just didn't work out. And you need depth. You need quality depth behind your starters. And, you know, Trice is a guy who's, you know, they're going to be watching closely here over the next couple of weeks. He had a nice pass breakup to end practice yesterday, stopped the Bills from scoring in their two-minute drill. He's been good. They're bringing him along slowly because of the ACL injury, but he's been much better within the last week. So he's one of those guys against the Bills, against the Lions next week. That's going to determine a lot of things on their 53-man roster. If he can't do it, if Darius Rush can't do it, they're probably going to have to go outside and, you know, look at the waiver wire once teams cut their rosters down. But I think the hope is, you know, with Rush and with Trice, they're the guys, because there's big, long, tall corners. They can shut down those outside passing windows, outside the numbers. Those are the types of corners Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin like to play with. Now we just got to see if they can go out and do it on the field.
Ray, who is a player that it could be a somewhat notable name or a complete unknown that has surprised you so far throughout training camp and the first preseason game?
Yeah, for me, Jonathan Ward, and unfortunately, he's a little bit banged up right now. I don't know if we're going to get to see him against the Bills, but this is an older guy. Didn't really know too much about him before he came into camp, but he shows up every day. He makes plays as a running back in the running game. He's really good on special teams. And, you know, I don't know if he had a chance to make the 53-man roster once Cordero Patterson returned. I think maybe he did when Patterson was still on the PUP list. But I think this is a guy who's going to be on the team either way, whether it's the 53-man roster or the practice squad. You could elevate him for special teams when needed. You always need guys like that. So Ward's been really good. I know people, it's probably not a household name, but you know, after Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris, I think he's been the third best running back in camp.
Do you think John Reese Plumlee has a shot to make this team, just given his athleticism and his, I guess, versatility in the offense? Right now he's the fourth quarterback. He's behind Kyle Allen, but he seems like an athlete that they can just kind of throw wherever. He's been returning punts and kicks. He's been on special teams. He's been out at receiver in practice.
Yeah, I think same situation as Ward. Probably stash him on the practice squad, and that's the nice thing about modern-day practice squads. You have 16 guys instead of, I think, 10 or 12, which is what the number used to be. And six of those spots, I think, are for vets. So, you know, you could stash guys like Ward, you know, on the practice squad. And Plumlee, being a rookie, yeah, I think you, you know, you're not going to need his arm once the season starts. So you can look at him at receiver. Maybe you convert him to receiver. If there's an injury at quarterback, maybe he goes back to quarterback. So, yeah, I think with 16 guys on the practice squad, I think they're intrigued enough with his athleticism that he's probably going to be around after Final Cut comes.
Then before I let you go, Ray, who is somebody that has to have a strong finish to camp, or else it could be, you know, someone that's on the chopping block come down to the 53-man? I'm not asking, like, will this guy get cut, but maybe somebody with the seat a little bit warm.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at the secondary. I think there's a lot of jobs that are up for grabs, both slot corner, backup outside corner. You know, you could look at safeties. You know, will Ryan Watts make the team? I mean, he's a rookie transitioning from corner to safety, so it's going to be hard for him. But, you know, they usually keep about 10, maybe 11 because of special teams purposes. But I can't sit here and tell you, like, who the final three are going to be. I think there's a lot of competition going on there. Unfortunately, the Arnold injury kind of clouds that situation. And, you know, you hate to say it, but I think, you know, that could be one position that they do look at the waiver wire. You know, if there are better options of guys who are getting cut in September, you know, they might bring some of those guys in, and some of these guys who are on the fringe might end up on the practice squad.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Ray, as always, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate it.
There we go. One of the best in the business, one of the great guys out there as well that covers the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ray Fittipaldo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.